I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Sun in the sky never raised an eye to me, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. The bids are coming in for Chelsea. And is a French legend about to return to management? It's Wednesday, 23rd of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Russell.
I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you. What a wonderful Wednesday we've got for you. Mittwoch again, Vitushin. Oh, are you feeling
Mittwoch
it?
You too.
What a start, everybody. What a start. The sun is going to your head already.
Yeah, it is. It's getting a little bit too hot, isn't it?
Mm.
They should send a release around.
Yeah.
An embargoed release, obviously. We're journalists. Come on.
Yes.
Speak for yourselves.
Saying that, look, it's going to be... You know, we know spring's approaching us. It's going to be 19 degrees in a couple of weeks. Just get ready.
Yeah.
Just take stuff out from behind the, you know, from the back of your closet. Just get your summer wear in order. Put the jackets away, because I wore a jacket today and I feel like an idiot.
You know what? I think that would diminish the whole British experience of people like sort of rushing to take off a layer, go shirtless in the back garden and all that sort of stuff.
I did see someone tweet yesterday or a couple of days ago saying they spotted their first person shirtless in a Tesco buying a disposable barbecue.
Love that.
I mean, that is the swallow, isn't it?
Taps off, boys.
For International Week, I mean, you know, even if International Week is in November, that's you, isn't it, Marcus?
Andy, it's
topless in Tesco's.
I'm legally obliged to keep my top on, naturally. But I have... popped my first antihistamine of the season. Probably a couple of days too late. I forget every year. Oh, there's the sneezing.
Yeah, you've got to start 2 weeks before, don't you?
I know. Up yours, Mr. Sensible. Anyway, gentlemen, let's talk about Chelsea Football Club. The race to take over Chelsea Football Club is hotting up. Can we sort of spin it like that as if it's meant to be some sort of exciting thing, Andy? I don't know. But a preferred bidder could be taken to the government for approval by the end of this week. Mm. Who's your money on? You going for the Candyman?
I've already said it would be delightful if Holly Valance ended up owning Chelsea.
In a roundabout. Well, because they're married, aren't they? And what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine.
Exactly.
People forget that, don't they?
Exactly. Mm.
But 20 parties are in the race, Andy. The expectation is that the Rain Group, who are handling the sale, will have reduced the field to a 3-strong shortlist by this morning, this very morning.
I will be very glad when all this is over.
I think we all will.
It's something that's still pretty unedifying. Mm. Clearly, the vast majority of Chelsea fans want to move on, and a lot of reasonable Chelsea fans out there who are not given as much airtime as they might be have been, A, working very hard to secure the future of their club through the Chelsea Supporters Trust and the Chelsea pitch owners, and B, other, I guess, less active and less involved supporters have been more reasonable about the whole post-Abramovich era. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there is an understanding that, you know, maybe keeping Chelsea at current sporting level isn't the absolute priority at the moment. I'm not even sure if it's realistic. And I would suggest until the takeover has actually happened, and until we're a month or two down the line, I don't think we'll really have a clear vision of what the future is for Chelsea. But as long as that future is, you know, they continue to exist as a going concern, that is the main thing.
I think they're so lucky that, you know, every single one of these bidders are such big Chelsea fans of the Blues. I've always loved the Blues. Mm. Some of the statements have been pretty comical, but I think the Supporters Trust and the pitch owner has been very good about, because there has been this, I suppose, because the club haven't been able to say too much about the whole process, and because, you know, Rain and also the government have to keep them about certain things, there is, I suppose, this vacuum that the relevant parties and the important parties in all this are filling, which is only a good thing. I do think the thing I'm confused by a lot of this, I suppose, because it has dragged on, but it is unprecedented, and you'd rather they took their time over this, to be fair.
Yep. It's still happening at a fairly rapid pace.
Yeah.
And I think the interesting thing is, because everyone knows why Abramovich is selling and exactly when he started to sell, this is happening a lot more publicly than a takeover normally would. Because normally, the first rule of takeovers is
you don't mention takeovers.
Yeah, exactly. If the bidder comes out in public, they're not serious.
The expectation is that it will be sold for around $3 billion. Some reports have given other figures, but I mean, my goodness, it puts into perspective the
offer to waive the debt.
Well, what I was going to say, Andy, is that the £305 million that was bought, Newcastle United were bought for, Fish.
Yes, yeah, it does. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, they probably had those. Their owners probably had that on them when they rocked up. We just bought this for parking.
What have you got on you? Yeah, exactly.
But you can take that. The thing I found interesting in all this is we're going to get to a stage, but it's certainly probably when we're whittled down to three, where people will be making their second pitches, as it were, almost like, you know, when they're their final interviews. And one of the things that seems to be coming up from what I've been reading and like talking to people about is the money available immediately. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are selling the fact that, well, you know, a lot of these parties are selling the fact that they have money to invest straight away. They are good to go in terms, and obviously they're basically wink wink nudging towards transfers. That's because I mean, that is the lingo that sends football supporters wild.
It's the equivalent of being a cash buyer.
Yeah. Yes. It is. Yeah. Yeah. I suppose that's exactly what it is.
I mean, in a way,
But I wonder what, you know, how much would the, you know, whoever's making this decision at government level, how much does that play a part? Like, and how much of this is actually giving the stewardship to people that you trust? And how much of this government can we say have a good compass when it comes to people you can trust?
Yeah, well, there's a lot in there. Andy, would you like to have a go?
Well, I think that the word invest is pretty important because invest always implies improve. Mm-hmm. But in this situation, invest means cover heinous running costs. Doesn't it? That is the major thing. So to assume that Chelsea are going to strengthen and improve whoever the bidder is on the pitch. A, that's not the most important thing. B, I'm not sure it's particularly realistic either.
I definitely anticipate a situation in a couple of years' time where whoever takes over will come to the conclusion that they need to cut those costs. Mm-hmm. And it won't be quite a fire sale, but it might be similar to what United have done in a dreadful way in terms of it'll be a push for more sponsors, mm-hmm. it'll be quietly moving out some players mm-hmm. for big wages, and I suppose actually Arsenal may be a better example. Getting rid of people and thinking, actually, no, we will replace them, and then just replace them with people a bracket lower than who they sold on. And yeah, that's the thing. It's about, maybe it's harder for us to do this in this room because we so focus on the football on the pitch. But it's like, yeah, actually, if Chelsea just exists, if they, you know, continue to exist as a Premier League club, isn't that the best situation?
Well, they've
been
given the special licences.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah.
And a lot of businesses wouldn't be given
But then would we then fall foul of ourselves in this discussion mm-hmm. if in 2 years' time we're like, well, they're not in the Champions League. Well, it was just a few years ago that they won the Champions League.
You're absolutely right. But as you say, it's unprecedented and we're trying to fill all these blanks as we go. But the footballing landscape does change and the financial powers do change. I mean, do you remember when Blackburn Rovers won the league? The difference is, though, is that Chelsea are in London, and London, due to what it is as a city and so on, will always be able to attract, rightly or wrongly, more business, more players even as well. The example of Arsenal is a good one, because Arsenal, yes, they've had a bit of a drop-off, but I mean, they haven't been challenging for titles for ages, and I know that's frustrating for Arsenal fans, but they look like they're going to be in the Champions League. You know, they have won a few trophies, so yes, it's a drop-off, but I mean, it's not huge. It's the aforementioned Blackburn Rovers or take your pick kind of thing. Leeds United,
The Blackburn
example.
Thing's really interesting, isn't it? Because the idea that a local baron could go in and propel a club to winning the Premier League now. Yeah. That is from, it might as well be from 100 years ago, really.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You know.
I went to a Blackburn game at the start of this season against Luton, and we went to one of the bars around it.
Well, Luton is very differing fortunes, you know. Not that long ago, they were.
And people are still talking about Jack Walker.
Yeah.
In terms of his influence and the fact that they got lucky in terms of he was someone who was able to back them financially.
And was benevolent.
He was a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there is talk that one of the bids is coming from some chaps who are Chelsea season ticket holders or something like that.
Does this stuff really matter?
Well, I think, I mean, probably no, because...
I think at the level that Chelsea are at, I don't think that's either... realistic.
Well, you need someone who's got the money and has got the knowledge and the wisdom and the drive to run a football club properly.
I mean, that's much more
important than whether they supported Chelsea as a boy.
We talked about that different era. The closest they've ever come to that, they did get that with Matthew Harding, didn't they?
Yeah.
Which predates Abramovich and really was the first thing that sort of rocketed Chelsea to any sort of modern prominence, really.
I did think, where's Ken Bates in all this? Hey, where's Batesy?
pay a quid for it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing that I think whoever takes over is going to have to realise very quickly is that it's not just this process that is public. Mm. You're going to have to be very public-facing from now on, because Abramovich got away with not being very public-facing mm-hmm. because of the results on the pitch.
Yep.
And Chelsea fans, the supporters trust, pitch owners... they are going to want to speak to you regularly, and you need to be prepared for that. And you can't just come in and give us a bit of PR, like when you're voting for you at fucking in high school, for them, school president.
That's really important because of where they are in terms of the stadium.
Yeah,
because they can't really do anything in terms of the stadium. Obviously, they would like to expand. There was the opportunity of Battersea Power Station at one point. But unless, you know, those Chelsea fans have played a really good hand and they've looked after their club impeccably, really. Because without that, who knows where Chelsea would be now. Mm. But in terms of you taking it over as... well, it seems ridiculous to say taking it over as a business, because I don't see how you can ever make money out of this, quite frankly. And, you know, maybe that's not the aim. That's certainly not been the aim of previous ownerships. For example,
but some owners will fancy it, though. I mean, these people are billionaires for a reason. whether it's through...
But there's a lot to put in. I think in terms of running costs, mm-hmm. in meeting a level of expectation, yeah. even to keep them slightly below where they are at the moment, will cost an absolute fortune.
It will.
And then you've got to, A, negotiate with the pitch owners, and B, get yourself to a point where you can redevelop Stamford Bridge to a point where, because basically Stamford Bridge at the moment, okay, it's a huge step on from Stamford Bridge in the mm-hmm. 80s and 90s, but it's not the Emirates, it's not Tottenham, mm-hmm. you know, size-wise, it's not Old Trafford,
and
obviously Manchester United have got their own issues where that's concerned. But we've seen, I think United, although they've been saved by the scale to a certain extent, they're a good example of what happens when even rich owners mm-hmm. don't have their eye on the ball in terms of developing the club about the way it can go.
Sure, Stamford Bridge is a conundrum to be solved if it can be, yeah. And we will see. But
the thing is, we know so little of this.
Yeah, well, this is the trouble.
How do we know that? You know, saying this bid's good, this bid's not good. How do we really know?
Well,
how do we know that a load of debt is not going to get lumped onto the club in the way that the Glazers have done it?
One bid that has caused a lot of controversy, of course, is the owners of the Chicago Cubs, the Ricketts family. Now, apparently they're flying to London. They may well already be here. They may be walking amongst us. They're looking to put in a bid. And several Chelsea supporters groups have urged the bid to be turned down. This is because emails from the head of the family, Joe Ricketts, resurfaced last week from, I think, about 3 years ago, in which he described Muslims as our enemy. Now, Chicago Cubs and Tom Ricketts, who's his son, has said, you know, like, this is... these are not our views. You know, they do a lot of work with the Muslim community
because they've had to.
Yeah, that's their response has been to that. Yeah, they didn't suddenly decide off.
It's rich people community service.
Paul Cannonville, for example, Chelsea's first black player, has said, "Look, this cannot happen." And so that one's being scrutinised at the moment, Vish.
Yeah. And it's something that's come through Chelsea fans doing a bit of digging, really. And, you know, the social media Say No to Ricketts campaign was, mm-hmm. you know, it was trending on Twitter yesterday and the day before that. You know, it sounds like, certainly from people with contacts within the Chelsea squad, that quite a few of those Muslim players mm-hmm. in there are wary about it and are aware of those comments.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that is a problem for them. And, you know, the way they're flying over to the country and the fact that they reel off all these things that they have done. Mm. It's all. I think that stuff's all bollocks anyway. But yeah, they're in. they've entered into something that they haven't really properly thought through. I think one of the interesting things I kind of mentioned it before, and Andy, you mentioned it before with the way football fans are. I think people really underestimate football fans in this country.
I think they do. We saw that with the Super League. Is a great example.
Project Restart as well.
But that's the thing with Chelsea. It's a global concern, isn't it? It's not just a local concern.
And I think people forget sometimes that you saw those Chelsea fans on the street with the Super League.
Yeah.
Well, this is not a dig at all at any other fans, but they, to me, were more prominent than other groups of supporters
that were
around the place. So you're absolutely right, Fish. Sometimes you underestimate this. Now, it has been reported that Rain have been instructed to select the best bid, not necessarily the biggest. We shall see.
I guess it's defined best as well, because when we talk about the Ricketts thing, that's the difference, isn't it, between American sports and the Premier League. Because even though the Premier League aspires to share certain financial model values mm-hmm. with American sport, the fact is that there is a bottom line in terms of conduct in American sports. You look at Donald Sterling being forced to sell the Clippers, for example, when he was caught saying racist stuff. And we're still at a point where the Premier League a couple of weeks back said, well, we're thinking of including human rights in our fit and proper persons tests. I mean, we're a long way behind that. So, yeah.
But they're just thinking about it, may or may not. Imagine that. We've decided we're not going to include human rights in this.
So we've got under any other business discussing human rights. Should we just get it done and we'll go for lunch?
To be honest with you, it always puts a dampener on things when you talk about human rights, doesn't it? Yeah, let's just... Anyway, how much money you got in your pocket? So there we are. Well, the future of Chelsea, we'll know a little bit more about it potentially at the end of this week, perhaps, or in the weeks to come. But it is unprecedented and it's intriguing. And we shall see how that develops. Gentlemen, to Mike Dean, where else can you go? The good people spoke about it yesterday on the Football Ramble, and they spoke about his future because he's retiring from the game. But this is good news, Andy Brassel, because his immediate future may take a little bit of a sexy twist. The bookies have him as huge favourite to make an appearance on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. He's 2-1.
Based Andy, on what?
He is two, based on banter. That's what it's based on.
The thing is, I understand why Harry Redknapp works on this. Mm. Is Mike Dean just not big in football rather than big in the outside world?
I think you're absolutely right. There's going to be loads of people going, who's he?
Exactly.
He's not a referee.
He's not even been on Emmerdale.
Yes, but I think people
not even been on Emmerdale.
I think people are getting confused here because perhaps, you know, when they, you know, when they do leave, maybe Dino's just going to be there. Off you pop, red card, and that's them gone. It's just a nice little extra.
I mean, I've never watched it.
No.
But if there's some sort of card thing. They eat like animals, don't they? I mean, we all eat animals, some of us.
No, like insects. And all sorts of weird things. Yeah.
What would he, I don't know, send off a scorpion? I don't know how applicable this is. Like, he is, I do wonder, because we view him as, I mean, because he's a referee, but we see any kind of, and you know, you see it from some of the comments that you're about to go through from Neil Warnock.
Oh, yes.
But there are a lot of people who, because we view him through that prism of being a referee, being of someone who wants the attention when he shouldn't really have the attention, we always, he seems a bit of a nuisance in our head. But I wonder if he has charm beyond the sphere of football. I wonder if people would like the way he goes about things.
We might find out.
Yeah, well, we might get some very interesting insight when you think about it, really.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think anyone will have heard that deeply and that at length from a referee ever. And, you know, if you're, for example, someone made in Chelsea, like you were saying, Marcus, there are lots of people who like you and aspire to your life, even if there are a lot of people who think you're vacuous, for example. Mm. But it's all kind of one way with referees. You know, they are given so little credit, so little understanding. I think to hear at length in a sort of decontracted scenario from someone who ultimately will get a lot more abuse than they do praise or understanding, I think maybe we'll get an insight. Maybe a lot of people watching that will get insight into referees that, you know, maybe they've not had before. I think it could be really interesting.
Yeah. Or it could confirm him as an attention-seeking egg.
Yeah. And I think the latter is more likely. But 2-1, we can hope. Neil Warnock took to the microphones yesterday to have his say on Mike
Don't
Dean's...
say that like he's spitting bars at some, some studio he took to the microphone.
And he bettered Papa Doc.
Why shouldn't I say that?
One, two, three into the four.
Why shouldn't I say that?
No, say it then. I'm picturing him going up against B Rabbit.
Anyway, he was talking about Mike Dean's retirement. It's 10 years too late. He said he's always had to do that a little bit extra for some reason to get himself in the limelight.
This guy ain't no motherfucking MC.
I mean, the nuts on Warnock to say that.
Well,
he's had to do that little bit extra for some reason to get himself in the limelight. Interesting.
Overall, he's a very good referee. He knows everything about it, but he just gets carried away.
I don't think that's a criticism. I think that's fine. I think he summed it up quite well.
I think he has as well.
Yeah. But it's probably the way he said it.
Well, he did add, he said, if Mike Dean does do the VAR business, then they'll probably change the VAR so that they've got a television camera on him all the way through the judgment. And I think that is quite the... Quite the sort of,
I think that's quite an alluring idea. You know, like, certainly in Spain, they're very big on when someone's just about to take a penalty, the director often loves the shot of the goalkeeper. Let's look into his eyes. Windows to the soul.
Yeah,
let's look in the eyes of the penalty taker and back to the eyes of the goalkeeper and back to the eyes of the penalty taker, and he's taken it. And I would love that like a close-up on the eyes of the VAR official while they're making the decision. Get that on the big screen.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
He won't be like your man. Who's your man on BT? Who's in the... He's on his own.
Peter Walton.
Peter Walton, yeah. That's not for Mike, is it?
No, it's not enough.
No.
Right then, everybody. Let's have a quick break.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome to Eureka, the show that gets under the skin of science, in a good way. I'm Rick Edwards.
And I'm Dr. Michael Brooks.
Not the kind of doctor who'd be able to help much if you were having like a heart attack. But if you're wondering about quantum physics or the theory of matter, he's your man.
Well, probably.
Every week we're asking a new puzzling question from the world of science and discovering the answer with the help of a world-leading expert.
Like, will we ever talk to animals?
They are definitely talking. You know, that's, again, a word that I would qualify because we usually mean that vocally. But in their own ways, they're talking to us every single day.
Are face transplants the future of cosmetic surgery?
Given that range of what's considered attractive, there's probably no point wanting to change your face to be more attractive if you follow science. And should we fear an alien invasion?
If an imperialistic drive brings other civilizations to us, then obviously it's not good news. But if it's scientific exploration, it may be good news.
If you're interested in learning a little bit more about the weird, magnificent world around us, then this is the show for you. Eureka. Subscribe now and find us on Twitter at EurekaPod. New episodes every Wednesday.
Eureka is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Oh dear, look at these keepers.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right, it's time for Pep Talks because it's Wednesday.
We're so happy. We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for that.
We're so happy.
I'm so happy, believe me.
We're so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! Please! Drink water and relax!
First pep talk from Graham. Now, I've been debating for the last 4 weeks about emailing in, and every week I've decided not to because I thought this email would come after my partner had given birth and it would be too late. However, the baby is now also late, as late as a Manchester United team coach arriving in a match. And I feel this email slash question might be the thing that gets the oxytocin flowing if it's read out. The question: what keeper should I channel when my partner goes into labour?
Oh, look at some of these. Look at some of these keepers.
A little history here. We're now having baby number 3. My first 2 children, Spencer and Coco, were from home birth, and both times I've had the role in their delivery. Well, kind of. With my eldest Spencer, my partner went into full labour and contractions at home whilst I was eating a Chinese takeaway in our kitchen. I really feel like I went into full Wayne Shaw mode just for this, with a hint of Neville Southall. If I end up suing one of my kids, I'll be going full Neville Southall. With baby on number 2, it was at the height of the pandemic, and it meant we couldn't get midwives to us fast enough. The responsibility was left to me. My partner went into labour, and at the crucial moment of being the ultimate father, I fumbled.
Oh.
Dropped your baby!
Oh, my goodness.
I felt the baby slip out of my hands, and she fell to the floor. I went full Roy Carroll versus Spurs. Coco is and was fine, as I was already pretty close to the floor, but nonetheless, not a great moment.
So when he says he went full Roy Carroll, he means he dropped it at a very important moment, but no one saw it.
Yeah. And then he cleared it. So now as baby number three, Frasier is ready to join us. I need to know, what keeper should I channel? Am I Hart and screaming at everyone before the big event to get my hype going? Am I Pickford getting the rave on? Am I Ramsdale with a great baby distribution? All advice welcome.
Ramsdale. Ah, Yosh!
You know what? I don't think you go for any of those keepers. Basically, you're there to be steady. And those are keepers who want to make stuff happen.
I think you should be, was it Rogério Ceni or the Brazilian keeper?
Yeah, he takes free kicks.
Or Chilavert, yeah. I just get to the other end. Just go to the other end. You get more credit up there.
I think you should go for Alisson. Alisson, a very safe pair of hands, of course. And also, with regards to baby number two being dropped, encourage a pool birth. And Alisson, as we know, is a Christian man. He baptised Roberto Firmino, I think, in the
pool.
Yeah,
he did, didn't he? Yeah.
Knows what he's doing. Pool birth, Alisson, it's done.
He baptised Roberto Firmino?
Yeah.
Mm. Well,
there we are.
Talking Brazilian goalkeepers, if you look at Taffarel, don't worry too much about what happened with baby number two, because Taffarel made some huge mistakes in his career.
He did.
But he always recovered.
And managed to win the World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got one here from Ibrahima. It says, I'm emailing you again to ask for help involving the same friend I did previously about the wedding tux. That advice was actually helpful, so I figured let's try this again. So the same groom got a gift from his wife to go and watch a United game. Me being a Chelsea fan and his best friend, she decided to make it for the next United Chelsea game, which coincidentally happens to be at Old Trafford. We're flying in from the US, and for both of us, it will be our first time watching our teams play live. Oh, what a lovely present.
That is.
But here comes the problem. In light of recent events, I'll now have to sit in the United section and watch them get pummeled by Chelsea. Do I go full Tommy Tuchel, decked out in Chelsea gear from head to toe, just to antagonise the fans, or do I keep it low-key and blend in? Hope you can help as I look to pop my Premier League virginity.
Vish, what do you reckon? I mean, we'll ask you, because if you did see someone in the home end at Old Trafford decked out in opposition gear, then you probably weighed in. So what do you think?
I would, yeah, from afar. I'd point and, oh, look at him.
If I can't get to him, then one of you's got to get in there.
I feel like you just, because, you know, some football fans can be dicks, just go in your own.
Yeah.
Just go in like normal clothes, enjoy it.
Exactly.
Enjoy the experience.
I think what you should have, like, bearing in mind the Thomas Tuchel cap, maybe you should go dress normally. And when in the last 5 minutes, when Chelsea are winning comfortably, reach into your bag, pop a little Chelsea cap on.
I think, yeah, on that, I would say wear a Chelsea kit under your shirt. And if Chelsea get a last minute winner, Superman it. Like, just burst the shirt open.
And no one will reveal fight you. No one will fight you because they think you're from Krypton.
And they'll think you're hard as well.
Or just, you know, take your clothes off, reveal the full kit underneath and walk up to the director's
and
box.
Also, Andy, make sure if you do that, be, you know, visibly fully erect. No one's going to bother you if that's the case.
That's true, actually.
Do you know what I mean? So there you are. I think we've solved that
people
one.
People think twice about grabbing you when you've got a erection.
You'll only get pleasure from this.
Yeah.
So there we are, Andy. Good luck at Old Trafford.
Yeah, good luck with that full erection, Andy. No, not Andy, Ibrahima.
Sorry.
I'm not going.
Forgive me, Ibrahima. There we are.
What have you got under that shirt? Yeah.
If you've got any questions for us, then send them in. We'll get to them every Wednesday. Shoutfootballramble.com or tweet us at Football Ramble. Gentlemen, to more serious matters, Paul Pogba has given an interview this week and revealed that, quite sadly, he had his World Cup medal stolen in a recent burglary at his house. And he also spoke about his concern for his family, as one word. But he also opened up about his struggles with depression during his career. And he said, I've had depression in my career, but we don't talk about it. Personally, it started when I was with Jose Mourinho at Manchester United. You ask yourself questions. You wonder if you are at fault because you never experienced these moments in your life. He went on to say, we earn a lot of money and we don't complain really, but that doesn't prevent us from going through moments that are more difficult than others, like everyone else in life. Because you make money, you always have to be happy. question mark. It's not like that life, but in football, it does not pass. And it's an interesting one, this, Andy, because, you know, we often say that footballers, again, as he's said there, well, you earn 150 grand a week. How can you be tired? Or how can you be depressed?
Well, this goes back to John Gregory and Stan Collymore, doesn't it?
Yes.
All those years ago. And you'd like to think that football has changed significantly in that time. But still, there are a lot of people, which is understandable to an extent, given the volume of money that elite footballers earn, who simply can't imagine earning that much money.
Mm.
So they can't imagine what it would be like, and they can't imagine that your life would still have the same problems and stresses and issues, and you still have to spend time on the phone to customer service and all that other sort of stuff that are kind of universal experiences. I think that Pogba was speaking about this is brave, it's encouraging, it's important, because he is someone who throughout his career has been very good at connecting with people. And even though he's received pretty heavy criticism for some of his performances on the pitch during times at Manchester United, and he's been quite a divisive figure in that sense, he's never shied away from connecting with people that whole time, which I think is what makes him such an important figure in the game.
Mm.
Yeah, I think he will definitely get a lot of stick from this from people who shouldn't really be listened to anyway. But
and by the way, you're absolutely right with that. Just don't bother.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. But the you know, just to jump off from your point, Andy, like Pogba is someone who has strong connections with other players in the game. If it's not through people idolising him, then it's just through his personality, because he's very engaging, very funny, enjoys life and, you know, enjoys his career. And I think that will be quite profound, actually, to hear someone of his stature come out and talk about this so openly. So, yeah, more power to him. It's I always feel a sense of, you know, he's one of my favourite players at United, and I kind of flip between the two of, like, I know he hasn't played his best stuff at United, and I know performances haven't been great, but I, you know, I like the fact that he's a United player. I think he's quite fun. I think that's all right in football sometimes. I don't need to kind of chastise him too much. Obviously, when I'm covering a game and he hasn't played well, fine, I'll do that. But outside of that, I think he's a quite good personality, and I think, you know, I think it's all quite impressive that he's talking about it, because he is going to get pelters.
Yeah, you know? he will. And, you know, like I said, he's never backed down from that. But because he seems so comfortable in his own skin most of the time, I think people expect the unreasonable from him. I mean, people expect the unreasonable from a lot of elite footballers.
Well, there was that chat on Twitter with Gary Lineker and Gary Neville and so on, when Neville was saying, you know, footballers, if they've, in his day, if there's a poor result in a big game, you wouldn't be seen at the local Italian restaurant. You know, why then do we see people going off and doing these things? And Gary Lineker was just like, well, I wouldn't change my plans. Well, this is just a load of nonsense. And I understand.
It is. And it's something that still clings to us as a football culture a little bit, isn't it?
Also,
this idea that you should hide indoors.
Yeah.
Well, you should hang your head in shame, and you should let that shame seep in. Now, that's unhealthy for many reasons.
Very.
I understand that if it's a particularly big game and someone's had a particularly poor performance, if suddenly they conflict. But there is a sort of, just on a basic human level, there might be a little bit of absurdity to that. I understand that in the human, you know, in one's curiosity, you can go, oh, he seems very happy after that. However, that may well be their way of dealing with it.
Yeah, you got to remember that someone, you know, some of these players, even players who aren't religious, don't drink, because there is a culture of, like, new athlete that's come through that just isn't interested in booze in that way. And so people do other things to blow off steam, whether it's going to the US and, you know, sitting courtside at a basketball game.
Just like getting away from it, players. Totally.
Yeah, and also, like, if those options were available to, say, Gary Neville's generation, in the click of the finger that they are in the way that they are now, where it's like, okay, you wouldn't go to your Italian around the corner because you'll be with, you know, there'll be fans around, to local area, people, you know, pester you and, you know, tell you things that you don't want to hear. But you also have the option of flying a few hundred miles away to people where you know you're going to be in an environment where people at the very least adore you, at most leave you alone.
Or don't know you.
But the thing is, you can never be completely left alone, can you?
No, to a point.
That's the thing, isn't it? You can't really escape.
Sure, but if you go to those places, you definitely have a degree. You can basically... The reason they go to Dubai, they go to certain places they go to usually, and it's certainly like Miami now with a few footballers.
Greater level of anonymity.
Yeah, but also they've got their established bubbles there.
Yeah. Mm.
They can just slot right into them. It's pretty easy.
And with social media, this is perhaps more of a pressing thing.
That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah. It totally is. Gentlemen, speaking of Manchester United, if you will, we touched on their managerial hunt yesterday. Apparently that they're talking to Ten Hag today, which will be very, very interesting. Mauricio Pochettino, of course, has been linked to the Manchester United post, but as we say, Ten Hag seems to be the man who is at least getting interviewed first, perhaps. But there are rumours.
Good to know they've got a plan.
A foolproof plan.
We'll do one of you as well.
we'll get Ten Hag out of the way. There are rumours that Paris Saint-Germain are looking into a possible surprising replacement for Mauricio Pochettino, should he leave. And that man could be Big Veng.
From one gravy train to the other. Just getting up, crossing the platform.
Arsene Wenger. He admitted his desire to return to management recently, as recent as the weekend. And he said, I can contribute in a different way. I still miss it. I still miss the intensity. I'm still vulnerable. Oh, Big Bang. I'm like a guy who no longer takes drugs. I also think that I can contribute in a different way. A confusing statement there, Vish, but what do you think of the idea of Arsene Wenger becoming available again to re-enter the fray of management?
I think you should start taking those drugs again. Who's playing that? In all seriousness, would this be the highest profile management appointment for PSG, for this new iteration of PSG?
The thing is,
Zidane would be higher.
No, but so far, like Wenger and Zidane, this next hire would be the most high profile.
I see what you mean, as in the ones that they've.
Well, I guess because of
was it Emery?
The French angle. You could say Ancelotti.
I was going to say Ancelotti.
He was the first superstar coach there, and they treated him so badly that he packed up and left.
Oh.
But I think I can understand why people think this is crazy, because he's been out of the game for a certain amount of time because of his age, etc., etc. But they've got to come at it at some sort of different angle.
But do you think coming with a manager who essentially started falling away at Arsenal because he didn't have a grip over his superstars, do you think that's ideal for PSG?
I don't know. This is a different level of superstar who, if they're not going to change the superstar culture at the club, which I don't think they can. There's too much face to be lost. And that's before you get to the bit of actually shifting Messi and Neymar, who are not going to get contracts like that anywhere else.
No.
You know, we had the annual table of salaries in L'Equipe yesterday, which is always very entertaining, particularly entertaining because of what's happened to PSG over the last couple of weeks. Neymar's the highest paid player. 22 of the top 24... PSG players, the other two are from Monaco. Pochettino earns more than three times as much as the next coach, which is Jorge Sampaoli, who obviously earns very well at Marseille. And that is very difficult to change that entire culture overnight. Before you get to the bit about they've completely alienated a lot of the young players who could have been playing for them and be playing in their team by now, like led by Christopher Nkunku, for example, just a suggestion of the sort of talent that there is in Paris and Ile-de-France. But
is Wenger the man to lead them, Andy? That's what we want to know.
Well, the thing is, it's not working with an intense hands-on coach.
No.
So someone who's not really interested in the detail of coaching and hasn't really been interested in the detail of coaching for a long time and has got more of that, I guess, general manager vibe.
Yeah, Harry Redknapp.
I think maybe that's something that would be closer to what they want.
Well, he said, I can contribute in a different way. I also think I can contribute in a different way. He said it twice, which maybe means I can contribute in a way that could mean my team challenge for a league title. And at PSG, you know, they would be challenging.
How long will it take them to get an influencer as coach?
Oh, I
Gigi Hadid in 2025.
They were battered by Monaco 3-0 at the weekend, so they need something.
Neymar's performance in that fed into every prejudice that people have about him and his attitude. I mean, I always think it's a little unfair. I think he's a great competitor as well as a great player.
He does like a dive, though.
But that sense that that sense that he's dialing
and he's
in,
foreign.
That sense that he's dialing it in. Yeah. He could not have provided a better example or worse example of that at the weekend. They're in a fix.
Do you think he's a bit of a diver, though?
No more than any other player, really.
No more than any other player.
Well, not any other player. Other comparable player.
Okay. Do you not think whenever Neymar, as part of PSG, or even when at Barcelona, when they played English clubs, people would see Neymar and think, we should try that over here? Because I think so. I think that a lot of the diving culture in this country comes from the exposure to Neymar, actually. I don't know how he sleeps at night. You know what? To be serious, I always get quite sad when his age comes up. The idea that he's 30, the idea that this kid who came on the scene and was so engaging to watch, the guy you'd see all these clips of doing wonderful things in Brazil, joins Barcelona, becomes part of that front three. And you're like, God, you could fly anywhere. And it wasn't even that he flew too close to the sun. He just flew to a different planet.
Yeah.
And there's an absurdity to his career that I actually think is quite sad. I enjoy it in a way that there's a Justin Bieber quality to him. And it's like everything he does is box office. And then he puts on a Brazil shirt and he has this separate thing where it's like, actually, you know, Bieber releases a new album. You're like, oh shit, actually, yeah, you do. You do have that.
Yeah,
you still have that.
Man, and maybe Arsene Wenger's the man to get the last few years.
Hopefully. I think this it would be a great tragedy if all we remember from Neymar is this.
But isn't that part of the age that he's in and part of the way that he's projected? Because if you look at his career, he's achieved an incredible amount. He's got a lot of miles on the clock. He's really put it in as well.
Yeah, his dad's
got a lot of money in the bank, Andy.
Yeah, that's the main thing, right?
Absolutely right, eh? Well, if you enjoyed the show, everybody, please leave us a 5-star review. It helps new listeners find the show, and we will bloody love you for it. But thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble today, part of the Acast Creator Network. On tomorrow's show, Kate, Jim and Andy will be in your ears. Andy will be back for another swing for your thrilling Thursday. Until then, thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you for Dushan Hantaraja.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.